I thank God for it. And that we're going to go to Daniel chapter 3. We're going to do the whole chapter. We won't get through it all today. There's 30 verses in it, but we'll get through what we get through. And right off the bat, we're going to see this is a picture of the world, its idols, the music, the fame, the fortune, the sexual sins. All this is going to be throughout this whole chapter. It's pictures of these things, and it's warnings that God gives. And so we're going to start in verse 1. It says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof was 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Verse 2. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, and the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, set up. And I just want you to see here, right off the bat, the rulers are the very first ones to fall for the false gods.
Makes sense.
That's right. It's a proof. Look at America today. It's the rulers who have taken and made their own idols and made their own gods and allowed the Ten Commandments to come out of courthouses and so on and so forth. It's those that are, those rulers and those who are in charge are the ones who are turning their backs quicker than anybody else. They got a lot of dirt going on. And, well, I tell you, the book of Romans said they don't like to keep God in their knowledge. The more you keep God in your knowledge, the more you keep him in the front of your head, the more you think upon him, the less sin you'll do. So if we just erase him out of our knowledge, if we erase him out of our lives, if we erase him out of the places we work, then we think we're okay. We think we're getting away with stuff, and it's not. And so I just wanted you to realize right off the bat, the rulers, and then you'll see as we go on, then the people are going to follow what the rulers do, okay? Let's go to verse 3. And the princes and the governors and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image of Nebuchadnezzar the king set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Verse 4. Then an herald went out, cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people and nations and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sekba, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And right off the bat, understand this. The devil uses music to get people to bow down to false gods, to false idols. There's other churches out there that allow drums and so on, all that type of music in their churches. And what's it doing? It's making them bow down to a false god. It's making them give themselves over to something that God would never approve of. Okay? And so how do we get them to follow another Bible, another spirit, or another gospel? Start with music. Start with music and make them bow down to that false god. Okay? And it happens all the time. Here's a good picture of that. That music, what music you're listening to is going to influence your thinking. Okay? I've been saved now almost 6 years, but you go ahead and put in some of the death metal and the hip hop and all that that I used to listen to, and I start tapping my foot and I start getting all these, all this adrenaline starts pumping through my body. Why? Because that music takes control. The devil knows that. So what better way to make them bow down to a false idol is go ahead and give them that same music. Now, there's Christian death metal, there's Christian screamo music, there's Christian rap. Do you think, honestly, that Jesus Christ would sit there and approve of any of that? He will not. And so what is it doing? It is getting people to bow down to a false god and a false idol. Those are the people that are trying to bring God to their level, not only in the Bible, but also in the music. In the music. People think that music is not an important influence in your life, and it is. For anybody who's listened to Christian music that we listen to, and then go ahead and listen to some of the world, man, it does something to you. It gets you thinking the things that you don't think that you would think of anymore. It gets you thinking. It gets all this adrenaline pumping in you. It gets all these crazy thoughts into your head. You know, at parties, they play all this obnoxious music, and it gets people all riled up. Listen, when you hear a beat, doesn't it get you riled up? Get your heart rate. That's what it does. And the devil knows that. And how else can he lead people to a false idol? It's through that music. It's the very first thing he's going to do is get that music pumped into your head. Why? Because then it's easier for you to bow down to a false god. But people don't think of music being that way. Why? They want God to come to their level. And I'm sorry, but God is not going to come down to your level. He did it once. He hung on a cross. He died for every one of us. Now he wants to change somebody's life and bring us up to his level. And I'm telling you right now, as I stand here today, as I sit here and breathe, God does not approve a bit of that music. I don't care if he put the name Jesus Christ in that music a million times. It does not mean that it's Christian.
If I may add a story to the relevance. Years ago, before me and my mom even, might have been during Black Creek, but fresh on that road, I go from my mom, she's listening to something on her computer, and it's Christian rap, and I'm like, Mom, don't listen to it. And she goes, asks me questions, saying, like, why? And I put it plain to say, it just doesn't mix.
How about this? Jesus Christ says we have to live in the world, right? And when you get saved, he doesn't take you out of the world. He says, Father, I pray, because they're in the world, I pray that you take them out of the world. I pray because they have to stay in this world. But he says this, to live separate. Come out from among them. How in the world can anybody ever tell that I'm a Christian if I'm listening to music that sounds like their music? If I dress looking like they dress, how can they ever tell there's anything different about me? How can people ever say, look at somebody and say, there's something different about this man. There's something different about this girl. There's something different about them. If we're fitting in with the world. And that's the thing. Everybody is trying to take that music and those Bibles and so on, and they're trying to fit that into their Christianity. And you know what it does? It leaves them on the same level as the world. There's never a change in this person's life, ever. I don't know one person who these other Bibles and musics and stuff have ever changed the inside of them, ever. It looks great on the outside. And they can tell you some wonderful things. But I'm telling you, inside they're suffering. They're on all kinds of psychotropic medicines to help keep them from being depressed and everything else. Why? Because their insides are still filthy. It's still dirty. Okay? And it starts with music. Verse 5. And whosoever falleth not down and worship the same hour shall be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Listen, from the beginning we know that the devil, when they talk about him and how beautiful he is, it says that he sounds as the pipe of organs, okay? And that's what he sounds like. Why? Because it's beautiful music. That's what he created, beautiful music at one time. And then pride came, and obviously he got cast out of heaven. And so what do you think he would do? Do you think he'd still have that beautiful music? No, he corrupts it. He corrupts it, and it gets people thinking, just because you put Jesus Christ's name in something or whatever, come on, man, I mean, listen to death metal. You ever listen to death metal or screamo, whatever you guys call it? Now, putting Jesus Christ in there, does that make that Christian? Does that make that holy and sanctified? It sure does not. But you know what? People think that. People think that Christian rap, just because it says Jesus Christ in it, does that mean it's a... It does not. It's so far from the truth. Why? Because the devil has blinded the minds. Most people wouldn't accept what I'm saying. Why? Because their minds are blinded by the devil and they can't see the depth of the deception. There's a deception sweeping through America where they think that these Bibles and these churches and this music is acceptable unto God. You've got the trick. It's got them blinded. Why did he blind their hearts, Tim? Because their hearts are more desperately wicked than him. So what's the next thing he's got to do? Blind their thinking. Get their thinking changed. Get their thinking not seeing properly. Take a Bible out of there. Take the Christian music out of there. Now what do you have? You have somebody who's calling him Jesus Christ. You have somebody who's preaching his gospel with his spirit. Okay? It says lest. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Lest the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine upon them. What does the light do? Doesn't a light flash in a dark place? Doesn't it brighten up and it scatters that darkness? Well, that's what Jesus Christ is trying to do. He's trying to shine his light on their minds and their hearts for them to see the deception of what the devil is doing. God help the people. He says, if you don't bow down here to the golden image, that they're going to be cast into a fiery furnace. It says that verse 7, therefore at the time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and language fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. That's look at the world today, guys. Look at the false idols. Look at the different religions that are going on. Look at those religions that are called Christianity. They're doing this very thing. I mean, listen, man. These so-called Christian musicians are making millions and millions. Okay, they got sold out concerts and everything else. And are they feeding the poor? Are they helping people get saved? No, they're just sitting there living, wearing big old gold chains and driving in the Lamborghinis. What about you? Why are you so poor then? Why aren't they paying your bills? Why aren't they helping you? How come I don't see them praying for you? Money is the root of all evil. That's all it's about. They're about making the money. So let's just throw the name of God in something, throw the name of Jesus Christ in something, and call it Christian. And it's so far from the truth. And the nations, languages, and people are falling for it. Verse 8. Wherefore at the time the certain Chaldeans came near, and they accused the Jews. And they spake and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not the gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Verses 8 through 12 here. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 6. Let me show you here. 2 Corinthians 6. I will misquote it. 2 Corinthians 6. Huh? 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Let's go to 16. Actually, go to verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Okay? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part that he hath that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will walk and dwell in them, and I will walk in their God. I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them. Among who? All those that he just named above. All those that are unsaved. All those that are in other religions. All those that are falling down to that idol. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not an unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And what you see here is a person. This is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. They're living a separate life. They're not living a life of what the king says. They're not living a life according to the false gods and idols. They're not living a life to give into that music. And guess what? Jealousy gets stirred up in them. And guess what they go and do? Oh, king, these guys are living a separate and holy life. And guess what? The world hates them. Jesus Christ says, hey, the world hated me before it hated you. If the world doesn't hate you, he says, all you are is a friend of the world. How about it, Randy? Are people stirred up to jealousy because they see you living a holy and separate life? How about it, Eric? How about it, Sam? Are people jealous because they see you living a holy life? Are they? Do they understand and they want to go and tell somebody? Look at this guy. Look at. They won't listen to the same music. They don't dress the way we dress. They don't do the same things we do. They don't believe in the same things we believe. How about it? Anybody saying that about you? That's what they did to these guys. You know why? Because they wouldn't give in to the things of the world. Their God was more important to them. How important is God to you? And for those of you who claim that you're not saved, he should be the most important thing in your life right now. There's nothing more important than that. Okay? Jealousy had gotten into the heart of man. Go with me to Proverbs 6. I'll just turn there real quick. Proverbs 6:34. I want to read something to you. And you say, gosh, they wanted to throw him in a furnace for this? Let me show you why. Let me show you what jealousy is all about. Proverbs 6:34. Proverbs 6:34 says, for jealousy is the rage of man. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou mayest give gifts. That jealousy, that rage that they have towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they would not bow down to what the world was telling them. And you know what? That's why they said, we'll put them in the fiery furnace then. Hey, let me just say this. If you're living for Jesus Christ, and people can tell you're living a separate life, they're going to want to put you in the furnace. Okay? They're going to want to burn you. And I don't mean take a lighter and burn you and set you on fire. I mean burn you with the mouth, burn you with false accusations, burn you with this, and you know, try to ruin your name, and so on and so forth. They will try to burn you. Okay? They're going to put the heat on you. Thing is, now, do we give in to that, Randy? How about it, Beth? Do we give in because somebody wants to burn us with their mouth, because somebody wants us to fit in with what they do, because they put a little pressure on us, because they put a little heat on us, do we just give in and collapse and do what they want us to do? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, guess what? They have a different answer. Verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to be bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods or worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made? Well, but if you worship not, you should be cast in the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? You see, the world wants to put a doubt in your heart, people, that God can't deliver you out of people's hands. God wants to put a doubt in your heart that he can't save you. That's what the devil, the world, and yourself wants to tell you. But I'm telling you today, it's a lie. It's a lie straight from the pits of hell, trying to keep you from salvation, trying to keep you from living a holy and separate life. Understand. God can and will save. It says, is my ear too small that I can't hear? Is my hand too short that I cannot save? And the book of Isaiah says that. No, it's not. But you know what? Man wants to make you think that. Your pride, yourself, you guys want to get yourself all worked up that God can't do it, and God can. And here we see that the world, what's the world doing? Trying to make them doubt. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. How about it, guys? Are you brave with your mouth? Are you afraid to tell people what it's really about? How about it when they come up and accuse you and say things to you? We answer them? We tell them, hey, man, I don't do that kind of stuff. I'm a Christian. I'm a saved person. Or I'm seeking, or whatever the case may be. Verse 17, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, how about that? You know why? Because sometimes God's not going to pull you out of that furnace, fellas. But could you sit there and say, but if not? Hey, Lord, I'd sure like to get out of this thing. But if not, let's go on to the next verse. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Verses 13 through 20, that they were hated for serving God. They were hated so much that they're willing to put these guys in a fiery furnace, bless you, and burn them up because they're hated for what they stand for. How about it? Will you stand against this world? Will you stand up and say, you know what? I'm not going to serve your idols. I'm not going to serve your God. I'm not going to serve your Bible. I'm not going to serve your devil. I'm not going to listen to your music. God is going to deliver me. But if not, we won't serve you, them, your idols. We'll still serve our God. How about it, guys? Is that in your heart? Can you say, but if not? Could you imagine, Lord? Me and Amy are going through a lot of troubles. Can you please get us through this? But if not, we'll still serve you. How about that? Isn't that a wonderful thing? How about that? If God could put that in your heart, that could really be your stand. But if not, Lord. But if not, let me just tell you this. To get to that point, there's a lot of fiery trials coming. Okay? There's a lot of fiery trials coming. And God doesn't always deliver us out of things. Matthew 10 real quick. Matthew 10. I want you to see that this whole thing is, that you can go in the New Testament and find the same things that that these guys are going through. Matthew 10. Let's start in verse 16. Matthew 10, 16 through 22. It says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But be aware of who? Men." Okay? "For they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and you will be brought to the before the governors and the kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how what you shall speak, or what be given to you in that same hour, or what you shall speak, for it is not that you shall speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver a brother to death, and the father and the child and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth unto the end shall be saved." That's not talking about salvation, as in your soul being saved. That's talking about being saved out of that trouble. He'll deliver you out of that trouble, okay? He'll get you out of it. Well, let me ask you something. Isn't this the same thing that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, aren't they before the councils and the kings and everything else? Don't they have to answer for what they're doing? Don't they have to answer because they're hated for serving a holy God? How about that? Are you guys ready to take that stand? Oh, I know the world wants to feed you. It likes to give you stuff. It likes to turn the volume up, okay? It wants to just go ahead and distort everything, take it all out of context. Let's go on. Verses 16 through 18. God doesn't always deliver out of troubles, guys, but he will deliver through. He'll get you through it, okay? These guys are facing a fiery furnace. And with all confidence, they're getting ready to be thrown in a fiery furnace. They are getting ready to be burned. This is what's in their mind. They said either God's going to deliver us or not. They're still going to stand there and answer the king with all faith and trust that God is going to deliver. They believe that God is going to deliver them one or two ways. Either he's going to get them through the fiery furnace or he's going to take them home. Those are the two things they believe. And they're going to stand it. I mean, could you imagine having that confidence? I mean, what if right in that next room, I mean, you can see the flames are flaming. And it's been turned up, man. I mean, it's way up there. And you're going to stand there. And you're standing in front of a king right now, today, as we sit here and speak. And he's going to say, "You either bow down to my God or go in there." Can you say with absolute confidence in your heart today, "My God will deliver me, but if he doesn't, he'll take care of it"? Can you sit there and say that today? Facing that? Well, that's what they did. Either he was going to get them through it, or he was going to take them out of it. How about it? Are you ready to go through it? Are you ready to go through that fiery trial? Because that's what it's going to take. Christianity in today is like going through a fiery furnace. You're going to get burned, and it hurts.
Doesn't always hurt.
Not always. Not when it's correction. The correction hurts, but at the end you see it and you understand, ooh, I needed that. Thank you, Lord, for being merciful to me. Thank you for showing that to me. But while you're going through it, it's painful. But it's for our own good. You see, when God makes it, either chastises us or whatever he's done, there's two ways to look at it. Either you're looking at him as God, who you think is just a judgmental, punishing God, and that's all he wants to do is ruin your life, or you look at him as a father who has to make hard decisions. Does your father, Bob Balaam, doesn't he have to make hard decisions for you? Yes, he does. Though he knows it's going to hurt your heart, but he knows at the end it'll be for your best. Same with your dad. Your dad, I didn't have a dad to do that. I don't know if you your dad. Okay, they have to make hard decisions. That's what a father does. And does it feel good to him? No, it does not. But at the end, you go, oh, now I see why he done that. You see, God does it out of God the Father is doing it out of pure love for your best interest. Okay, it's not for God's interest; it's for ours. And so we have to think about that. Is God dealing with me as God? Is he dealing with me as God the Father? I mean, how's it? You got to weigh those things out, because you know what? You will handle a situation wrong if you don't get it right. When I got saved, probably my first year and a half, I always looked at God who's somebody who just wanted to stomp me out, man. Why? I handled God the way people handled me. I handled God the way I handled relationships. And I had to learn, wait, I can't do that. This is God. This is not a person. I mean, he's a person, but he's not a human being in the flesh. You guys know what I'm trying to say. Because of the way people treated me, and because of the way I treated people, that was my relationship with God. And all he wants to do is hurt me. He doesn't ever want to help me. He just wants to hurt me. And he had to wake me up to know, Dale, I'm making these decisions to help you. I'm helping you. I'm making this decision. I know you don't understand it right now, but if you just believe and trust me, just go ahead and let me take care of it. You'll see in the end. It says that if you endure, you shall be saved. That's not talking about your soul. That's talking about you being delivered out of a trouble. If you'll just endure, you'll be saved. How about that? Isn't that a wonderful thing to know that God wants to take you out of that? There's things we get ourselves into that God wants to immediately deliver us out of. But he can't because we won't see it. Okay? We can't because we're so hard-hearted and our hearts are hard, man. We still got those clods in our heart. We won't let them break them up. We won't allow them to get into the inner part of our belly and start showing us those things and exposing them. I mean, you guys know, most of you know that when God starts showing you those things about yourself, you don't want to believe them. Do you want to believe? No, you don't want to believe them. But you know what? You can't move anywhere until you start believing them. Oh, that can't be me. Oh, it can be you. Yes, it can be you. God showed you that for a reason. Well, I do believe. What was that little stutter? Maybe you don't. Okay? Take that. Weigh it out. What do you think you got a Bible for? What do you think? Can you not talk? Can you not talk to God and say, you know, God, I really need some help in this? Let me say this. Two things. Salvation. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. Okay? That may come afterwards. Some do, some don't. Number two, salvation is not knowledge. Okay? Knowledge is not salvation. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. You can have so much knowledge in this Bible and it will do you no good. Okay? I mean, I bet you I could have preached a better sermon than Spurgeon when I got out of prison. I mean, that's how much Bible I knew. I knew it frontwards and backwards. The crazy thing is God took that all from me. Why? Because it's all garbage. It was all nonsense. He had to strip my knowledge from me in order for me to get to see the simplicity that's in Christ. I couldn't see it with all that. I was blinded by that thing. Knowledge has its place. But knowledge can blind you to the simplicity that's in Christ. I'm just saying. Knowledge can't save you. Jesus Christ saves you. It's simple. But we make it hard because we get ourselves in this, we run these rabbit trails and we try to gain all this knowledge into our heads and our hearts. And I watch the guys and the ladies in prison do the same thing. They use their knowledge to try to convince themselves that they're saved and try to convince other people that they've changed. And you know what? They have missed it because of the knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Okay? Knowledge puffeth up. It makes a man think something that he is and he's not. Deceiving. Stop looking for the knowledge of something. Stop grabbing onto the emotion. It's not going to be a little flame that flickers and the emotion's going to go off and boom, that's who Jesus is. No. Jesus Christ is the Savior who hung on the cross and died for your sins. Okay? Reading your Bible. Wonderful. Wonderful thing. But what are you looking for in it? Ask yourself, what am I looking for? Search the scriptures. You think you have salvation. Search out your own salvation with fear and trembling, the Bible says. Well, what are you looking for in it? What do you want it to expose to you? Do you even know? Don't you think you ought to pray that to God? Don't just open your Bible and think, okay, well no, listen, be a diligent seeker in God. But say, God, you know what? Show me. What is it that I'm missing? One verse, showed our pastor. There's none that seeketh after God. Well, what have I been doing? You ain't been seeking. Well, that can't be me. Yeah, it was you. Okay? He got saved that day. But do you see, God showed him a verse and he kept denying it. He didn't believe that was him. And God said, no, that is you. He got saved. How many times has God showed you something in the Bible and you go, that can't be me. And it is you. It's you. But you can't see that. You won't see it. My third thing, and I'm just going to be done with that section. My third thing is, God is not trying to use something you already know to show you how to get saved. You already know that. He knows that you understand that and you know it. There's something else that he's trying to bring forth, and we're so blind to see it. We can't see it. What is it? Anybody pray, God, will you show me what it is that's stopping me? Job 10, verse 2. Turn there real quick, Eric. Read Job 10, 2. And I don't want to misquote it, but listen, pray this before you read your Bible, guys. Pray this. Tell God, ask that God this right here. And you know what? He'll show you. Did you get it? Job 10, verse 2.
I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me.
Show me. God, will you show me why you're contending with me? What is it, Lord? What is it you're trying to show me? You got to go, to God with that. You got to go to him with that. You guys know, oh yeah, somebody confesses their sin, and yes, I perverted all, all that was right, and it profiteth me not. Boy, we can know verses wonderfully. You guys could, we all could probably preach a message in here. But knowing them and living them are totally two different things. Okay? And that's why knowledge would mess you up. Knowledge would tear you out the frame. Because it's stopping you seeing the simplicity of the truth in Jesus Christ. Okay? Let's go on. Verse 19. Verse 18. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve the gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Be not conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be a holy, a living sacrifice. This is what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are doing. They're being a living sacrifice right now. Are they dead? Are they laying on the table? Did somebody kill them? No, they're alive, and they're about to go into a flame of fire. They're being a living sacrifice. They're not conforming. They're not giving in to what the king says. They're not giving in to the music playing. They're not giving in to what the princes and the rulers and counselors say. They're being an absolute living sacrifice for God. You see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego understood that there's no stipulations on you being a sacrifice for God. Well, I'll be a sacrifice if... Oh, no. They said, God's either going to deliver us out of it, but if not, he'll take care of it. They knew there was no stipulations. They were either going to be a sacrifice for God or nothing. There is no stipulations, guys. There is no, hey, honor your mother, or honor your father and your mother. There's no stipulations put on that. You're going to honor your mother and your father. That's all there is to it. Okay? He didn't say, honor your father and mother if, it's not what the Bible says. To be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, if, no. There is no if. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Listen, if you're seeking in here for salvation, you can still be a sacrifice unto God while you're seeking. You don't have to put yourself out there and live for the world and get your heart all defiled and dirty and everything else. That's only going to make things worse. You can still live separate. The thing is don't get yourself all messed up with your outwardly changes. Okay? Don't get yourself all confused with your outwardly changes. Man, outward appearance means absolutely nothing without the inside, okay? The inside. It's very easy to change the outside, but Jesus Christ is more interested on the inside, okay? That's what he wants. That's what he's trying to dig into. He says, you know, a lost person's full of dead men's bones. And so what did he do in the book of Ezekiel? The bones stood up, they had the sinew, and the flesh came back on them, but were they alive? No, they were not. Why? Because the Spirit of God didn't go in them yet. Okay? And that's for people who are lost today, that's what you are. You're dead men's bones who've got flesh and sinew, and your God hasn't breathed in you yet. He's trying to breathe in you, but you won't let him. Something in your heart, something in you that just will not let him put the Spirit of God in you. And the very moment they go, that's it, man, it's over with. You're going to look back, and I remember after I got saved, I said, man, that was it? That was salvation? It was the easiest thing I ever went through, but getting there. That birthing canal for 4 years, man, was rough. It hurt. It was painful. But it made me be able to see. It opened my eyes to many things. Many hurtful, bad things, guys. Things that I would be ashamed that my wife doesn't even know. Things that would I would be absolutely ashamed to even let anybody in this room ever know. I had to face that with God. And I had to see it. And I would always say, no, that's not me. No, that just no. And God would say, yeah. You got to see this, man. And I mean, I would wrestle with this thing and wrestle. And I mean, for months at a time. So it wasn't just one day at a time. I'm talking, I'd be wrestling, man. And then I finally come to a point, I go, you're right. That is me. You know, Pastor used to call me a godless little wimp. And it would tear me off the frame. And I mean, I took the place, I would wait well back and want to whack him and everything else. And you know, after he'd leave, about an hour after he left, I would just sit there and go, he's right. He's so right. You know, God did the same thing to me. He put something on my face, Tim. He said, that's you. And man, nah, that ain't me. How can you call me? Get out of here, God. I'll punch you. Don't you show me something like that. And then after a while, a few months, whatever, a year, I would say, you're right. That's who I really am. That thing you go, that's not who I really am. That's who you really are. That's what God wants to show you guys. It's not something that you already know. Okay, listen, he's talking about your heart being defiled, not your outwardly stuff, not the way you talk, not the way you dress, not the way you work, not the way you honor your mommy. He's not worried about the outward stuff. It's the inward thing, your heart. Your heart can commit a murder, can commit adultery, and so on and so forth. That dirty, filthy heart, that in there's something in there that he wants you to see about your heart that makes you defiled. That's what Jesus Christ says. It's not what you put in the body that gets cast in the draw. He says, but that thing that comes out of your heart, that's what defiles a man. What's defiling you? What is it? What is it that you will not sit there and agree? Listen, you got to agree with God. You got to agree with God on what he says you are. Please don't fight it. Just don't fight it. You're going to lose. Yeah. For those of you, I'm going to be done here in a minute. For those of you who want salvation, stop fighting it. You go, well, I'm not fighting it. You are, because you won't see it. That's obvious to a duck. Because if what other reason do you have for not being saved sitting in this room today? There's two reasons. Either you're not agreeing or seeing what God is trying to show you, or you don't believe that Bible sitting on your lap. Okay? Let God show you. All right? Next week, we're going to start in, I'll start in verse 20. We got about another 10 verses. And it gets really good after this, so we'll continue next week.